Blog Talk Radio.
Hey man, we're just so glad you could join us tonight. We were having some technical difficulties. You know, right now we're just going to bind the enemy because Satan is a deceiver. Amen? So we're going to bind you up right now in the name of Jesus. We come against you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Satan, we bind you up. We take authority over you. You don't want this to go out, but it will go out. We are teaching about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and I know the devil don't like it. So here's our intro.
1 Peter 1:15, and he which is hope, which hath called you, is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah.
To you live, Kingdom of God Ministries. Glad you could join us on this Saturday evening. Tell a friend, join us. Our call-in number, we will be opening the lines shortly, but our call-in number is 646-668-8633. Again, the call-in number If you have a prayer request, if you need prayer, if you want a testimony, whatever, just call in 646-668-8633. Mm-hmm. Tonight we are talking about the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost power, the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That should make you excited. Hallelujah. Bishop, if you don't mind, could you open up with prayer?
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, first of all, we thank you, Lord, for establishing this program on tonight. And Father God, we thank the Lord for everyone that's listening, Lord, and we ask that you bless them. We come against every hindering spirit. We bind it up and we cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, Father God, we ask that you open the minds and ears of those that's listening, that they would receive revelation and knowledge through your word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Amen. So we just thanking the Lord tonight. We wanted to open up the phone lines, talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, this is not talked about much in the churches today, but we're going to bring some light on this topic. So I want all my believers out there. I want you to just call in. We need support. You know, Bishop and I, we do this every Saturday, but we need support. Just like anybody else. And we're always, if you want to join, be part of this Praise God movement, we're located in Canton, Georgia. Give us a call. We're looking for people to help us go out in the vineyard and work, because we know when night comes, no man can work. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Jesus sent the disciples out two in twos and told them to go out into the world, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So tonight we're coming out of the book of Acts, chapter 19. I'll be coming out of the book of Acts, if you could turn there in your scriptures. We were talking about when Paul was visiting the churches. And, you know, he had visited to his friends in Ephesus. Amen. So he returned to them. He made some stay, but he returned back to Ephesus. And when he came back, he noticed that there were some weak believers that had gone no further than John's baptism. If you recall, John was baptizing them, but he was just really laying the foundation. Jesus, he said, one cometh greater than I am. So they were still following John's baptism. And so Paul taught there 3 months in the synagogue of the Jews, and then he was driven out by them because, you know, they were very religious, like some of our churches today. They're so religious, you come in there talking about some Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, they're going to run you up out of there. And Lord, don't talk about no demons, casting out devils. That's what they did. They ran him out the Jewish synagogues because they didn't want to hear about no Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's what the devil do. He don't want you to talk about the Holy Ghost. He gonna try to shut it up. He don't want you to bring, because he know by you getting the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, that is your power. So he's gonna try to shut it down. Go to your local church on tomorrow and see if you hear any mention of the Holy Ghost. They may reference it as a third person, but they literally don't speak like he has come inside of them and living inside of them. So they reference it as him as a third person party. Amen. So Paul was teaching the Jews in the synagogues. And as I said, he was driven out. And so he taught the Gentiles a long time in a public school, and how he confirmed his doctrine by miracles. That's one identifying factor of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have some kind of demonstration of signs and wonders. Jesus said that. Now, some might argue to say it has passed away, but I venture to say if you're a believer and you feel with the Holy Ghost, that's a miracle in itself.
Amen.
So how did the miracles pass away? God saved me. God picked me up out of the mire and the clay and set my feet on a path of righteousness. That's a miracle in itself, and only the power of God can change your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You could go to AA schools with Alcoholic Anonymous. You could go to drug rehab, but can't nobody do you like Jesus.
Amen.
We have had testimonies of people that were bound up with cocaine, and the minute they came in contact with the true living God, they haven't even had a desire. You hear what I said? A desire to do the cocaine.
Amen.
God took the very taste out of their mouth. And that's a miracle in itself. So I venture to say it is still in operation today. Jesus wouldn't have left his body of Christ helpless. When he left, when he ascended to the Father, he would not have left his body of Christ helpless. Okay, so let's go on. What was the fruit of his labor? Particularly, it was to convert. It was to bring people into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. So as you know, he was going around teaching the Gentiles, and he came upon this group of about 12 men. They were they said they were Christians. They were going through the motion. But when he asked them, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Since you believe, I'm asking this to you. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, since you believed? And you know what they said to him? They said they didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost, because they were still following under John's doctrine, and they was not following after Jesus' doctrine. See, John said, I must decrease so that he will increase, Jesus Christ. The disciples come preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected. They were still going off of John's doctrine. So they said they were baptized, but Paul asked them, he said, look, something ain't right. You baptized, he said, but it stopped right there with John. I'm telling you this, some of you been saved. Some of you went through the sinner's prayer, but it stopped right there. There has been no type of progression in your Christian walk. You're still stagnated. You see, as we grow in Christ, there should be some things that falls off of us if we say we have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. There should be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Amen? So as we know, there was a number of about 12, and they were standing around, you know. Apollos was one of the helpers of Paul. He helped to, he was one that watered Paul, planted. We know God brings the increase. And I want to say this to our church, brothers and sisters. If you have a ministry, your ministry may not be like this ministry, but our whole objective should be to bring people into the kingdom. I'm not going to fight you, and don't you fight me. Because the bottom line is, if the doctrine is the same, which is Jesus Christ, him crucified, we shall be teaching the same thing. There is no room in the body of Christ where we should be tearing each other down. Matter of fact, the devil gonna do that. The world gonna do that enough. So we don't need to do that. Apollos, he was working with Paul. This is what we should. He had some others, Aquila and Priscilla. They were working with Paul, and after Jesus left, and this is what we should do. But there was a number of about 12. There were much of the standing that Apollos was of when he came to Ephesus, for he knew only the baptism of John. But he went and he sat under Paul. He was learned. Paul trained him and taught him about the things of God. But they had not the opportunity of being acquainted and Priscilla, or had not been so long in Ephesus, or were not so willing to receive instructions as Apollos was. And we got people like that today. You don't know about the Holy Ghost because they haven't taught you in your churches about the Holy Ghost, but you're not going to receive knowledge about the Holy Ghost. You're going to shut it down. You're going to shut it down now because you don't want to hear about it. Oh, that don't happen today. But it is. It's alive and well, and it should be in every believer's life. Amen? So, Paul, he kind of criticized them. He said, you know, who told you? He said they were believers, but they did not know or they didn't understand Christ. How you going to be a believer, you say, but you don't even know about the very power of God? Amen? So we have to take ourselves under examinations, Christians, or believers, or nowadays, you know, the two is interchangeably. Some say they're Christians, some say they're believers. They did believe in the Son of God, but Paul inquires whether they had received the Holy Ghost, whether they believed in the Spirit whose operations, the minds of men for conviction, conversion, and comfort. You see those three things that the Holy Spirit do? I didn't say condemnation, did I? I said conviction, conversion, and comfort. These were revealed after the doctrine of Jesus Christ, whether they had been acquainted with him and had admitted this revelation. This was not all extraordinary gifts, but they did believe in the gifts. So what am I saying? When you receive the Spirit of God, you know, they don't make the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost as some kind of wooey craziness. And we're going to play a clip about this false Holy Spirit that is infiltrating the churches today. They call it the Kundalini Spirit. And a lot of people don't even know, they don't have discernment. So they don't know the real from the fake. Amen? But if you got the Holy Spirit in you, God is going to give you revelation, and he will tell you, that ain't my spirit. Mm-hmm. We had an incident the other day. A woman, she was cussing all in the assembly of God, and cussing foul and everything, and then she spoke in tongues. Immediately, the Holy Spirit in us said, that ain't my spirit. Amen? So one identifying factor in knowing that you have the Holy Ghost is going to be by the tree or the fruit of the Spirit. What is being produced in your spirit? Amen? The tree will be known by its fruit. Do we bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, or are we led by the Spirit? Do we walk in the Spirit, or are we in the government of the Spirit? See, the 12 that Paul met, they owned their own ignorance in this matter by saying, we didn't know whether there be a Holy Ghost. You see? And this is the question I'm asking you. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, you can be acquainted with the Holy Ghost today. You don't have to walk around ignorant and say, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. Well, that was the whole purpose of Jesus coming back. And he told him to wait in the upper room, and he was sending the power. That was the purpose of it. So he could equip the body of Christ with the power. You can't fight the enemy without the power of God. Amen. Paul inquired how they came to be baptized, if they knew nothing of the Holy Ghost, for they were baptized by any of Christ's ministers. They were instructed concerning the Holy Ghost. So if the disciples had baptized them, they would have told them about the Holy Ghost. They would have been up in that upper room. You see? So what they did, probably when John died off the scene, somebody picked up the mantle of John and just went to baptizing them, still in John the Baptist's name. John the Baptist had to move out the way so Christ could be fulfilled. And we still have that today. People still being baptized in the name of John. John didn't die for you. Jesus Christ died for you. So Paul asked him, you know, if you knew nothing of the Holy Ghost, who baptized y'all? Because it couldn't have been our disciples. Because that's the first thing they're going to tell you about is Jesus Christ. They were instructed concerning the Holy Ghost. Jesus told them that it was going to come. And they were baptized in his name. Amen? I got a little song. This is just to get you kind of pumping, get your blood flowing, get you pumping. But it's about the Holy Ghost. And these were some of the songs we used to sing back in the day when we were coming up and, you know, kept us around the fire. We wanted this Holy Ghost. So just sit tight. It's an old school song, but I think it's going to get your blood to pumping and flowing and your feet tapping and your hands clapping. Amen? So enjoy.
Oh,
Postmodern, that they don't want to teach about the Holy Ghost. They don't want to teach about being filled. Let me tell you something. It's the very power of God that keeps you. So I see so many people back and forth, back and forth. You say you're a Christian one day, the next day you're out, you're back, you're forth. Look, if you got the power of God in you, I'm going to say it like this. We all have erred and fallen short. But that Holy Ghost in you will convict you. It's going to tell you, I am not pleased with your lifestyle. You need to get it together. They tell me the worst person, the most miserable Christian, is the Christian who is living out of contact with God. And in other words, in a backslidden state. Because that spirit wants to get back to the Father, but you're so tied up with the flesh that it grieves the Holy Spirit. That's what it means by grieve not the Holy Spirit. We got a false doctrine going around. And I know some of you have watched the movie with this, is it Clifton name? What's his name?
Pearson.
Carlton Pearson on Netflix. And I'm not giving him any props, but to those who are not mature Christians, that could be a heresy. That could be a false doctrine because he is teaching that you don't need to repent. You don't need to do anything. Anybody can make it into the kingdom without repentance. What do you think John the Baptist was doing? He was teaching repentance. Amen? For the kingdom of God is at hand. So when the kingdom of God came in the flesh, John, that's when he said, okay, let me regress in a sense and let me push Jesus Christ. We shouldn't still be preaching John's gospel as if it was priority over Jesus' gospel. Amen? So this is what he said. Behold the Lamb of God. He recognized the King of Kings, the Lamb of God. Amen? He wasn't still trying to push his doctrine. He was only preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this is what we should be doing today. We should be teaching, preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. We're teaching you how to have God's power living inside of you. We're showing you that the gifts of the Spirit are fully in manifested power today. Those who tell you that it's not, they're lying to you. They're lying, but they're lying because they don't have them. But if you have the Holy Spirit of God resting in you, you will know the power of God. Like she said, some of us need to go back to the altar, fall on our knees. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And he will fill you with his Spirit. Now, I know they have made the Holy Ghost, the filling of the Holy Spirit, like it was some kind of crazy foolishness. But it's not. It's nothing crazy about it. Later on in the clip, we're going to bring out some kind of this false Holy Spirit that's going around called the Kundalini. It's only about a 5-minute clip. But before that, I'm going to bring Bishop on. He's going to bring... he said just go on with the clip. So we're going to bring that clip to you, and then he can go on and talk about all this deception. There's a lot of deception going on in the body of Christ. And the sad thing, people are sitting up in the churches and the pastors are not teaching them anything about these fake tongues, fake Holy Spirit. That's where the discernment come in. You need discernment, saints, and you can't have it without the Holy Spirit. Amen. So listen to this 5-minute clip. It's talking about
you
this false Holy Spirit.
We stand in great need of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, the working of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we should constantly be crying out to God for greater and greater infusions of His power and greater outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Constantly in our lives and in the church. Listen, what we have to do cannot be done by us. Don't you understand that? It cannot be done. The great missionary endeavor, what still lacks in taking the gospel to nations, it cannot be done by us.
Amen. That was the one about the power of the Holy Spirit, why we need it. But I wanted to bring out the one about the Kundalini Spirit. That we know we need the Holy Spirit. We know that we need to cry out to God for the Holy Ghost to be filled so we can do the work of the Father. Amen. Without it, you're not gonna be able to do anything. You're just gonna be, you know, a sounding silver. Here it is.
It says that Kundalini is like a false Holy Spirit. It produces even miracles and healings, infusions of love and power and energy and emotion and all these kinds of things. And yet it's the Hindu version of the Holy Spirit, and it's not holy.
Amen. Let's try it again. I'll start it over. Okay, this is the false Holy Spirit in many churches.
Now, the basic question that we're asking in this documentary is, why are these manifestations so similar to Eastern religions and Hinduism and the Kundalini cults, and yet they're not found in Scripture, they're not found in the Bible, they're not found in classic Christianity at all? Of course, in Hinduism, one of the most common ways of experiencing a Kundalini awakening is through a guru placing his hand upon your forehead. This is called Shaktipat. And when they do that, you'll be infused with this incredible love and this wave of emotion. You'll fall down. There'll be all these manifestations, maybe animal noises, joy and weeping and shaking. This is a Kundalini awakening, and amazingly, it is exactly the same as what we have been seeing in the Toronto Blessing. Now, one of the very clearest signs of a Kundalini awakening has always been these kriyas. You see this woman involved in the New Age movement. She's walking along exhibiting these kriyas happening, involuntary jerking motions. And the staggering thing about it is that we are seeing again and again and again these exact same type of kriyas right through the Toronto movement. This has always been one of the clearest signs of Kundalini that we know of. A friend of mine from South Africa who's done a tremendous amount of research on this topic says that Kundalini is like a false Holy Spirit. It produces even miracles and healings, infusions of love and power and energy and emotion and all these kinds of things. And yet it's the Hindu version of the Holy Spirit, and it's not holy.
Finish it, Lord. Bam, do it, Jesus. A brand new hip. Bam, bam, bam. God, I command polio, 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 I just command healing in that leg. Can you feel that? Polio. 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 All right. Tori's got something she's going to release. And when this releases, it's going to be like a starting gun for the ministry time. So those of you who like ministry, go ahead and stand up. Get in the middle section. Youth, children, those who've been touched by the fire, prepare to minister. Yeah, he's here.
Something is there.
2 days ago, I saw Jesus opening himself up and walking in our midst. Today, the phrase that keeps going in my mind and in my heart is that my deep calls out to his deep. My deep calls out to his deep. My deep calls out to your deep, Jesus. My deep calls out to you.
Amen. So you can see there's a lot of false teaching, and what they do, they prey upon people who don't know the word.
Ministries family. So today we're
they don't know the word, and so this false spirit is disguising itself as the power of God. The way some of these people is acting, they would scare me away from it. You know, the jerking, the hollering, the screaming. God don't act unseemly. God don't act like that. This is not of God. Amen? So if the world is looking at the church and you like a bunch of lunatics, that's not of God. I wish you could have saw the clips. They're jerking, they hollering, they laughing, burst out, talking about the joy of the Lord. God said he do not flaunt himself. He do not act unseemly. Amen? Again, our call-in number is 646-668-8633. If you have a comment or question, call in. If you need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I can promise you, it's not going to be none spooky or eerie or, you know, God don't act like that. Amen. So I'm going to yield the floor to Bishop.
Amen. We want to thank the Lord for everything that has gone forth at this particular time. Evangelist Montgomery brought out some very strong and key points in reference to the Holy Ghost. And on the subject of the nice blog talk is you need God's power, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, what? To overcome the enemy. I want to bring out some things in reference in addition to everything that has been said so far. What I want to do is go back into the Old Testament and bring out various references to the Holy Ghost and then come back to the New Testament, because it's important to know that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has always been in operation with man from the very beginning. And it was also in operation even before man. You say, what? Before man? Yes. Yes, he was. I said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep. And what was next? It said, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, was hovering over the water. Now, this is way before God made man and created the things on the earth. The Holy Ghost was hovering over the water. Now, one thing I want to bring out, anytime and every time the Holy Ghost is present, okay, when he is present, he's not present just to be there. I'll say it that way. He is present to perform the work that God was sending to do. He is the very power or essence of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He is the power and the essence of God. So nothing is done without the the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody might want to argue with that, but it's the truth. Nothing is done without the Holy Ghost as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. When Jesus was healing and casting out devils and healing people of all manner of sickness and disease, it was by the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Ghost without measure. I'll say it again, without measure. Okay? Many of the things that was done in the Holy Ghost, the parting of the Red Sea, was by the power of God. And what is the power of God? It is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So, the enemy has always been defeated by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. That is the very power of God. By the spoken word, by Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost goes into activation and moves. Okay? He moves. He changes things. He changes things from wrong to right. He can do that. He does it in our life. He changes us from a rank sinner, all right, to someone who is not a sinner. And you say, oh, no, we're all sinners saved by grace. Oh, okay. No, no, no. We are made from, okay, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we are made from not able not to sin, okay. Okay, we can only sin, to someone who is able not to sin. Before the Spirit of God comes into your presence, you can only sin. That's you're a sinner. But when the presence of the Holy Ghost come within you, then you're able not to sin. Why? By the Spirit of God. By the Word of God. By the Spirit of God. You are a changed individual. Remember Saul? Remember Saul? Before he became Paul, he was going around persecuting and killing the people of God. He was persecuting and killing believers, persecuting and killing people who call on the name of Jesus Christ, persecuting and killing the saints. That was before he really met Jesus Christ. But after he met Jesus Christ and was filled with the Spirit, there was a change that happened in his life. All right? And what was that change? That change was for the good and to Christ, and he stopped doing the evil that he was doing. Our call-in number is 646-668-8633. That call-in number is 646-668-8633. You're welcome to call in. Now, we're getting back to our subject. I wanted to bring that out, to bring out that we are not powerless. We got to have the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It doesn't just stop with salvation, as Evangelist Montgomery spoke earlier. That is the beginning. But to do great works, okay, and to do and to be effective against the enemy, we absolutely must have the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to bring some things to you in reference to the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. I'm going to Judges 3. And the Lord allowed some things to happen to the people of Israel. He allowed them to be somewhat attacked or come under subjection of other nations, but he allowed that because these particular people and Judges had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. So he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not previous battle experience. So what I'm saying is the Lord doesn't want us to be punching bags. He doesn't want us to constantly lose to the realm of the enemy. He wants us to be able to stand and fight against the enemy. But the only way you're going to be able to stand and fight against the enemy is you're going to have some power. You're going to have some a battle experience. In other words, you're going to have to know how to fight, because the enemy is like a bully, okay? If you don't fight him, that don't mean he's not going to fight you. He is going to fight you, especially when you are a child of God. Did you hear what I said? When you are a child of God, the enemy will especially fight you, because he doesn't want you to come against him, and he doesn't want you to pull any of his people that he has bound up into the kingdom of God. So let me go forth in this. Five rulers of the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites living in Lebanon, mountains from Mount Baal, Hermon to Lebo Hamath. Say they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. The Israelites at that time, they lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hephites, and Jebusites. And these different people, they took the daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. So instead of Israel teaching these other nations about God, these other nations was teaching Israel about their gods, and Israel was serving their gods, and God didn't like that. One thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this, when you do evil, when you do what is wrong, when you are siding with the enemy and doing what the enemy does, God doesn't like that. Regardless of how you might feel, regardless of the pseudo blessings that you might receive, and notice I said pseudo, because many times they're not necessarily from God when you're doing evil. You know, the devil can give you some stuff too to keep you deceived. He can do that. See, now we're talking about the Holy Ghost. That's why we played the clip of the false spirits, because they lead you away from God, and not only do they do that, they bind you up and stuff to make it more difficult for you to come to God. Okay? All right, I wanted to bring that out. But look at what happened. So the Israelites, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and served Baals and the Asherahs. Those are false gods. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the land, into the hands of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But look at what happened. Now, before the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to say it, got involved, what? They were bound. Okay? See, without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit, it's very easy for you to be bound by something of the enemy. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read it out, breaks the bondage of the enemy. I have to bring that out. But look at what happened. When you cry out to the Lord, so he raised up a deliverer for them. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. Look at what happened. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. I'll say it again. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. Came on who? Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. Othniel went to war. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he went to war, and the Lord gave him the victory. The Lord gave Cushan, Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. I'll read that again. Who overpowered him? How did he overpower that king that had them in subjection for 8 years? He overpowered him by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that was in Judges 3, Old Testament. Why am I bringing this out? I'm bringing this out to let you all know out there that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, has been in operation since man was made. You see, it's no new thing. But at that particular time, very seldom did the Holy Ghost come within men because salvation had not been rendered yet. And men were still somewhat sinners, and God winked at many things because they were not able to be saved as we are saved today. Why? Because the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had not been done. They were still, in that particular time, they were still under the sacrifices of bullocks and cows and goats and sheep and things like that. But it only went toward their righteousness in obedience to God, but not in reference to salvation. What God did, he physically saved them from destruction, but their spirit and soul man was still not saved. They were just in righteousness because of obedience to God. Okay. Now, when Othniel overpowered that king, they had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. I wanted to bring that out because some people seem to believe that the Holy Ghost is not relevant for mankind. The Holy Ghost has always been relevant for mankind. It's just that it was a little different in Old Testament days as it is to New Testament days. The difference in Old Testament days is the majority of the time in Old Testament days, and you don't just take my word for it, people of the Most High God, go and study it for yourself. You'll find out that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost mostly rested upon men. And even by him resting upon men, they did great and mighty works by the Holy Ghost. Great things were done when the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost came into the presence of man. When he moved, great things happened. I said it then, great things happen. It was by the power of the Holy Ghost that the plagues fell upon Egypt. It was by the power of the Holy Ghost that the Red Sea split open and they went across there on dry land. Now, somebody might have a problem with that, but that was by the power of the Holy Ghost, because that is the very power of God. God spoke. The Word of God spoke. The Holy Ghost moved, as just like he hovered over the waters. But he's not just hovering to be hovering. He's there to do a work. And what is that work? It's to accomplish what God would have to do. Nowadays, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to empower us, guide us, speak to us, and teach us of the things of Christ and turn us to Christ. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will teach us of the things of Christ and turn, making us in good standing with the Father through Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost does. And he is a paraclete. He walks beside us. He keeps us in righteousness. What righteousness? It is the righteousness of God. Okay? The holiness of God. All right. Look, I'm just going to give you some scripture because I want to give you things that you can follow and study for yourself. As I said, don't just take my word for it. Go to the book. Go to the book. Ask God to direct you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, don't have the Holy Spirit, you can ask. Jesus said, just ask. He said, if you ask, you'll receive. He said, if you knock, the door shall be open unto you. That's what he said. He said, if you seek, you'll find. That's what Jesus said. So if you doubt what I'm saying, seek the Lord and ask for the Holy Ghost. And guess what? He will give it to you. It is a gift. It has always been against gifts sent by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? For power. But Jesus said in Matthew 12, and so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, against the Spirit, will not be forgiven. And he said, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Now, that's one thing we spoke about. That's why we brought out the Kundalini Spirit, because that Kundalini Spirit is a fake. It's not the real thing. It's a fake Holy Ghost, and what happens with it, it wants to imitate some of the things of God, but the fruit of that thing is not godly. I'll say that again. The fruit of this thing is not godly. That's why Jesus said the tree is recognized by its fruit. If somebody has been filled with the Holy Ghost, there will be a change in that individual's life for good. As Evangelist Montgomery said before, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, something's going to drop off. Some sin is going to drop off. There will be things that you will not be able to do that was easy to you before, as far as doing evil and doing sin, doing sinful things, drinking and cussing and running women and acting all silly and foolish. It'll be difficult for you to do those things. A lot of times you won't do them. Because why? Jesus said, the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And those negative, evil things are not the fruit of the Spirit. You see? Those things are the fruit of the flesh. But they are not the fruit of the Spirit. So when you become filled with the Spirit, you have that power to overcome that stuff that you could not overcome before. You need God's power. You need God's power to overcome the enemy. I'll repeat the call-in number. It is 646-668-8633. I want to bring that out. The tree is known by the fruit it bears. Let that sink into your spirit a minute. Let that sink into your mind a minute. See, when you know and realize that, it's that much more difficult for you to be deceived, because you're not going off of what somebody just says. You are going off the life of that person. Okay? Luke 24:45-49, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. Jesus didn't send his disciples or apostles out until they had that power from on high. What was that power from on high? It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit. Why didn't he send them out before they had that power on high? Because if they had gone out before they had received the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, they would not have been able fulfill the calling that Jesus Christ had given them, because it was a spiritual calling. You cannot fight a spiritual being without something that's stronger than him. And what is stronger than the enemy? It is the Holy Ghost. All God, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's what is moving and operating through the body of Christ today. That is what is moving and operating through the people of God today. It is the Holy Ghost. If you don't have that, you are somewhat ineffective against the wiles and the strategies of the enemy, because you don't have anything stronger than him. Your will is not on its own, is not stronger than the enemy. Your physical strength is not stronger than the enemy. Your mentality is not stronger than the enemy of its own. But when you have the Holy Ghost, see, you are infused with something from on high that Jesus Christ sent to us, and is stronger than anything that the enemy has. That's why we have to have it. That's why we can defeat the enemy. We can't defeat the enemy of our own. Because if we could have, then there would be no need for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we could have, there would not have been a fall in the garden. Because Adam and Eve could have just defeated them on their own. But they couldn't, because they were dependent on their own strength. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. It says flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit, you see? You should not be surprised at the saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Now, this is what Jesus was saying. You must be born again. He didn't say you might. He said you must be born again. But it also says flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. In other words, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will enlighten your spirit, will quicken your spirit and make it alive to the things of God. But the flesh, as far as its relationship to God, is dead. The flesh will only produce things of the flesh, not things of the spirit. But what will cause the flesh to coincide with the spirit is the Holy Ghost. And where does that come from? That comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ down from heaven. In Romans 8, 2 through 6, it says, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. How? The Holy Ghost has set you free from the law of sin and death through Christ Jesus. Huh? The law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh. You see how that flesh is? The law was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. To be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Who did not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Did you hear that, saints? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So, with that being said, how will you be able to put that flesh into control? The only way you can do that in truth is by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because what the word just says, the flesh desires the things of the flesh. It doesn't desire the things of the Spirit. Especially not the things of God. It only is concerned about the flesh. But the Spirit of God is concerned about the Spirit of God and the things of God. That's the Holy Ghost. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 18. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, and who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, all of this, hey, it's still by the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost comes into you, or when you come in contact with the Holy Ghost, you're not your own anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. Say that old is gone. The new is here. And so all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All this is by the Holy Ghost, see? See, some of you out there, you're wrestling with things, and you're trying to fix things on your own. You may be saved, which is good. You might have some kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. That is good. But it's very difficult to defeat the enemy without the power of God, which is the Holy Ghost. See, you can be saved and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can have a real relationship with Jesus Christ and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. The disciples, they were saved by Jesus Christ, but they needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost to be effective in their walk, in their life, and to be effective in the ministry and the things that Christ has given them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay? We must be filled with the Spirit. As Jesus said, we must be born again of the Spirit, and we must be filled with the Spirit. All right? Now, 1 Chronicles 12:18-20, then the Spirit came on Amasa, chief of the third, and he said, who are yours? We are yours, David. We are with you, son of Jesse. Success to you, and success to those who helped you, for your God will help you. So David received them and made them leaders of his raiding bands. Some of the tribe of Manasseh defected to David when he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. He and his men did not help the Philistines because after their consultation, their rulers sent him away. They said, it will cost us our heads if he deserts his master Saul. When David went to Ziklag, these were the men of Manasseh who defected to him: Abner, Jozabad, Jedael, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, Zelothai, leaders of units of 1,000 in Manasseh. So you see, when the Spirit came on Amasai, chief of the 30, he spoke out. Now that's another thing that the Holy Ghost will cause. It will cause you to speak the word of God. It will give you boldness to speak the word of God, to speak truth, to speak righteousness, to speak in power, to speak in authority. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Because the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, it's pure power. It's the power that the enemy cannot withstand. But if you don't have that power, then you really don't have that authority that has been given to you through Christ Jesus. Our call-in number is 646-668-8633. All right. Getting back to the word. I love the word of God. Because when you speak the word of God, then, you know, it's not you that people have a problem with. It's his word. So that's what they receive. And I encourage everyone listening out there to get in the word of God. Because that is the power, that is the anointing, that is your life, that is what we need. Because you're not going to learn anything about God without his word. You're not going to learn anything about the Holy Ghost without the word of God, or how to receive the Holy Ghost, or how to be filled with the Spirit. You have to get into the word, and I encourage you to do that. Psalm 52:1-3. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long? You who are a disgrace in the eyes of God. You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. Now, that is a work of the flesh. But the Spirit of God will cause you to speak against the works of the flesh. See, when you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's evil, it's easy to do evil. It really is. Because you don't have anything that's going to keep you, you see. When we say keep you, we mean to keep you in the righteousness and the holiness of God. You're just flopping, you're kind of just like a fish out of water, flopping back and forth. But with the Spirit of God, you truly have power. With the Spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost, you have the anointing. With the power of God, with the Holy Ghost, you have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Jesus, you have power over all the power of the enemy. That's what he said. He said he gave it to you. When he give you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he give you that power to have dominion over the enemy, to have authority over the enemy, to have power over the enemy. But the Lord also said some of these, they won't come out, they won't react unless to someone who has been fasting and praying. I want to bring that out. You need the Holy Ghost, and in some cases you need to fast and pray to bring your spirit in line with the Holy Ghost in reference to power and authority. That's what that's about. It's to bring the flesh. I'll say this, fasting and praying is done to bring the flesh in subjection to the Holy Ghost so that your soul and your spirit is in the same vein as the Holy Ghost. All right? All right? Okay. But Micah 8 through 10 says, but as for me, I am filled with power, Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. Hear this, ye leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Now this man spoke under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He was able to speak to the nation of Israel. He was able to speak correction to them. He was able to point out their shortcomings in the eyesight of God. That was by the Holy Ghost. That was by the Holy Ghost. I'll say it again. That was by the Holy Ghost, even in Old Testament times. So if he was active in Old Testament times back then, and he wasn't freely given as he is freely given now, how much more should we advance in the kingdom of God? How much more should we advance the kingdom of God on earth when the Holy Ghost is residing within our temples today? Let me read this. Acts 2, 1 through 5. Familiar? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And we are familiar with this. But listen, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, it says, all of them were filled. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Did you hear that? He said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit then. And so it's the same now. The Word of God says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's promised us the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost then in the upper room. It's the same thing now. It didn't stop. I'll say it again. It didn't stop. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the very power of God, didn't stop. It's continual, and it will be continual until the Lord comes back. It will be continual until the Lord comes back. So that means we need to desire it. That means we need to ask for it. That means we still need to be filled with his precious Holy Ghost to fight this warfare, to win the battles, to win the war. We got to be filled with the very power of God to overcome the enemy. We can't do it without him. We can't do it without him. So then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Now, how would it be preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem? Because of what Jesus Christ promised them. Because of the promise of the Holy Ghost. You can't do anything in the spirit without the spirit. All right? That's true. That's the truth. 1 John 2:19-27. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Did you hear that? No lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Did you hear that? No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. You see? They had false people back then. They had people who were who had false spirits back then that were trying to pull people away from the true and living God, trying to pull people away from the truth of the Holy Ghost, from the truth of Jesus Christ. But it says, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. What is that anointing? What is that anointing? That anointing is the Holy Spirit of God. That anointing is the Holy Ghost. That anointing is the promise that the Lord Jesus has given us. That's what it is. That's what it is. So you need God's power, the Holy Ghost, to overcome the enemy. That's what is needed. All right. We have a call-in number. It's 646-668-8633. Anyone who is listening out there who has a question or a thought or just have a desire to make a comment, you can do so. Okay. Okay, we'll play it.
Amen. We're going to conclude this part of the broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it, talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And again, if you would like to be part of the ministry, feel free to give us a call. You can send us an email, kingdomofgodministry77@gmail.com, or we will be taking your call after the program. Feel free to give us a call. But main thing, we are located in Canton, Georgia, and God has given us a call on our life to preach the gospel. Amen. Not saying that we're the only ones that's doing it, but This is what God called us to do. Like I said earlier, Apollos, he watered. Paul, he planted. But God brought the increase. So we are just workers in the vineyard. Amen. God has given Bishop and I a vision to go out and get the homeless, the shut-in, those that are rejected, neglected. That's what we're doing. So keep us in prayer. We're going to close out with the song that we heard earlier in the program, The Holy Ghost Power. We hope that this program has been a blessing to you. We look forward to being with you on next week. Tell a friend. We will be talking about the almighty dollar. Money cometh to me. Amen. So tell your friend, money cometh. Amen. We'll see you next week. Be blessed. And I'll close it out with this song. The Holy Ghost power. That's what we were talking about today. God's Holy Ghost. Amen. Chicago Mass Choir, come on with it. Make you want to go back to the old landmark. The Holy Ghost power. Go back to the old landmark. Get on your knees. Say it until you get filled. Do you have it today? The Holy Ghost power.
I'm gonna go to the hospital.
God bless you. See you next Saturday at 7:30. Tell a friend to join us. Join Kingdom of God Ministries. Amen. See you next week. Bye-bye.